This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Now, it's that time of the show when we welcome our legal eagle, Christina Antoniadis from Nichols Family Law. Hello, Christina. How have you been?
I've been really well. Yourself?
Fine. I didn't get you into any trouble with the vet, did I?
Not at all. Not at all. But we can say hello to her because she is listening.
Okay. Well, hello, Merin. Nice to have you along. Now, this week we were going to take a look at the law as it relates to two issues that people often don't think of as coming in the same package, which is marriage and transgender. It can get quite difficult, for example, when a couple are married and one of them wishes to transition. Now, we're not talking about the personal difficulties here. What happens to their marriage if we have at one point a man and a woman, and then suddenly we have a woman and a woman, but they're married? Can they stay married?
No, they can't. If just say it's the male transitioning to a female, if he has undergone all of the, if he identifies as a woman and has for some time, and he also has had some sort of sex reassignment surgery or hormones, whatever it may be, the court could say that that marriage would then be void. And the reason for that, I think I need to just back up a little bit,
sure,
is that in 2001, there was a landmark case of Ree Kevin, and we'll call him Kevin. Essentially, prior to that case, there was UK legislation and Australian law that basically said if you did not have the sex reassignment surgery, or as a matter of fact, if you were born as a female, you will always be legally a female regardless of whether you had the reassignment surgery. So that obviously posed problems if a female transitioned to a male and then the male wanted to get married. They said, no, it's null and void. And this exact problem came up in Kevin's case. So Kevin and Jennifer actually married in 1999, and our Commonwealth Attorney General's Department at that time said, no, Kevin, you're actually committing a criminal act, and they wouldn't allow the marriage to...
So Kevin was...
Was a female.
Was a female, transitioned to male.
Correct.
And then married a female.
Correct.
And then...
The Commonwealth Attorney General said,
no, you're not married.
It's illegal.
And you've just committed a crime. What's the penalty?
I actually don't know. I was looking at that this morning. I think it's now been made void, and the legislation's no longer in place. But I was trying to review it, and because I'm not a criminal specialist, I actually couldn't find that. But I'll have a look at more into that and see if I can let you know next week. But essentially, what Kevin was made to then do is make an application to the family court to basically have a court determination that the marriage was valid.
Right.
Which really is awful having to go through that. She identified as a male very early on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the biggest thing about this case was that Justice Chisholm said it does not matter whether you've had the sex reassignment surgery. It's more about what they called the biological sex. So you may be born physically as one gender, but biologically you identify as another one, which we see all the time.
Okay, yes. This is the concept that most people have a lot of difficulty getting their heads around. It helps if you think of sex as being located in the body, but gender being located in the mind.
Exactly right.
And we're talking about gender.
Yes.
In this instance. So what's the legal situation now for someone like Kevin?
They are legally allowed to marry. They actually won their court case. So the court said it is a valid marriage. Then the Attorney General's Department appealed it, and they won on appeal as well, as in Kevin won on appeal.
Right.
So it was a major, major case for
Australia. Okay, so a woman who has transitioned to a man can now marry a woman.
Correct.
It's all perfectly legal.
Correct.
Let's take this another way around then. Is it different for a man who transitions to a woman and then wants to marry a man?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's exactly the same thing. There are a number of, I guess you would call it a checklist, that Justice Chisholm did go through, but essentially what they're saying is if you identify as the other sex, you've lived as the other sex, there's psychological reports to say that, you know, you do identify as the other sex, then there's no reason why legally you can't be the other sex. So what they're saying is regardless of genitalia, you can identify as the other sex.
Right. Okay. Now, how does that square with the notion that someone can transition from one sex to another within a marriage, effectively ending up in a same-sex marriage, but that is illegal?
It is, because if they did become the other sex, what would actually happen is legally their birth certificate would be altered. And obviously, as we know, in Australia, you can't have a same-sex marriage. It's bizarre. Very bizarre.
So what do people do in those circumstances? I mean, what can they do? If, supposing they, because I'm assuming here, I mean, in a lot of cases, well, we know we have one here at the station, they want to stay married.
Mm. Legally, it would be void. Legally, it would be void.
Is there anywhere in the world where it isn't?
I don't. Oh, obviously, overseas.
And so they could go somewhere like Canada and have a same, but that wouldn't be recognised.
No, exactly. So we're behind the eight ball, but we have led, I guess, the countries in terms of the Kevin case, because now they're not only identifying, you know, they're not saying, you know, if you have genitalia that's one sex that you must identify with that sex, actually saying biologically and in the mind, if you identify as the other sex, you can actually marry and legally be determined that sex. Mm.
So we're ahead on some things and we're behind on other
things.
Way
behind on other things.
What happens to children of these marriages then? They kind of, they don't lose a father and get two mummies. They lose both a father and a new mummy.
Essentially, well, because the new legislation has come through about same-sex parents, they'll still be recognised as a parent, but obviously they would be the child's birth certificate would be amended so that there'd be the biological mother or the biological father, and then the other parent would be named as the other parent, not the biological mother or the biological father.
It gets ridiculously complicated.
It does.
What then can people in this situation do legally to protect themselves?
Look, if you're in a situation where you do want to marry and you are going through the reassignment surgery or you have identified as the other sex, I would say get some legal advice to see what your options are, because you can always make an application to the court, and it can be what we call an administrative application. So it can just be a matter of us filing the documents with the court to say that you are, that the marriage is valid, and therefore you can go ahead and get married.
Okay, well, we'll come back to you in a minute.
No worries.
Discuss this a little more. In the meantime, let's take a little music break here. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9. This is Marco DeMarc, Casey Burns, Tiny Dancer. Hold me closer, China Dancer. That's right. And at this moment, we're talking with our legal eagle, Christina Antoniades. We've been talking about the issue of transgender and marriage. Now, the courts have decided that you can get married in your chosen gender, but they have a certain kind of checklist, as I understand it.
They have guidelines, yeah.
That they go through. Can you briefly kind of run through how the court decides if you really are what you say you are?
Yeah, look, Justice Chisholm said there were, as well as biological, as we spoke about before, there are cultural characteristics. So things such as a person's life experience. When did they start identifying with that sex, and how long have they identified as the other sex? Their self-perception, so within the community, do they dress up? Are they known as a male or a female? The extent to which they've had any surgery, so hormonal, surgical or other aspects, mm-hmm. The court said that's
so that's any kind of reassignment surgery or treatment.
Correct.
Or what more politically correctly we should call gender correction treatment.
Exactly. And they said that the person's biological... Okay, so that's the most important. Their psychological and physical characteristics mm-hmm. at the date of marriage does not determine whether they're that sex or not. So they may still physically be a female, mm-hmm. but by law they'll be deemed to be a male if that's the way, if they've undergone some sort of treatment or identified as that other sex. But I think that the biggest part about this case is that previously, and it was such old law, if you were one sex, that's it. That's your sex for your entire life.
And even if you had reassignment and hormone treatment and everything else.
Exactly.
You were still male on your birth certificate or female, whatever you were born as.
Exactly.
And you could never change it.
Exactly, but now you can actually amend
it. Bit difficult with passports and things.
Hugely difficult. But now you can amend your birth certificate. You can have a whole new identity legally. So I think if anyone is in that position and they're contemplating, I mean, obviously what the courts have said and what a lot of the publications on this matter have said is that you don't have to have that surgery. A lot of people want that because they want that recognition and they're not comfortable within their own bodies. But
now this is different to the way it used to be, wasn't it? Because it... As I understood it, you weren't fully recognised in your chosen gender until after you had had the surgery.
Correct. Correct.
That has changed.
It has. It has. They're saying that biologically, so in the mind, there's that if you identify as the other sex, but it's also in conjunction with all of those other matters. So culturally, what they've done, whether they've always identified, how long they've identified as the other sex. So there are a number of guidelines that the court has to be satisfied about prior to issuing. I mean, obviously, I can't walk in next week and say I identify as a male and therefore I'd like to be able to marry a female for obvious reasons because, you know, it's illegal in Australia.
Because we then run up against this...
Same-sex marriage ban. Which we love. We love that argument.
Oh, adorable. Absolutely adorable. It does create a very curious set of circumstances, though.
It does.
I don't know. I mean, maybe this new human rights body that's coming into existence within the Parliament that's going to review and audit... This government's very fond of reviews and audits, isn't
they
it? Review and audit the legislation. We'll come up with something different, but I'm not holding my breath on this one.
Look, I know. And we have come a long way, but there's still such a long way to go.
Is it easier, though, now than it was for someone transitioning?
A lot easier. A lot easier. I mean, in the past, if they had had the full surgery, the full reassignment surgery, even then they wouldn't be able to marry someone of the opposite sex. So it is that recognition. It's so good because I know that I've read a lot of reports that self-harm and suicide in people that are transgender is so high. So to be able to actually have that recognition is amazing. It's really amazing.
Yes, I mean, way, way higher even than in the GLBTI community where it's high enough.
Exactly.
Particularly among young people.
Exactly.
And as you and I have spoken about before, this is a very difficult area to get through when you're coming through puberty or trying not to go through puberty.
Exactly.
As the case may be, but we'll leave that one for another day. Christina, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Doug.
Next week, we think we might have a little look at the Equal Opportunity Act, another act that needs a little bit of tinkering with, I think, in order to bring it into line with reality.
That's
Christina.
Right.
Anthony Uddies, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget, all details of today's program are going to be online on the program blog, which is at currentaffairs.net.au, including links to various websites relating to what we've talked about today. Also, podcasts will be going up hopefully later today, although the team's a bit depleted today, and I've just got Nick helping me out. In a moment, we'll talk with Scott Abrams, the editor of Sydney Star Observer and Southern Star. That's after Cyndi Lauper, Into the Nightlife.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.